Your Eminence, can we now spend a few moments with the life of your elder, Father Iacobus, who proved to be a true vessel of the Most Holy Spirit, having exercised the virtue of extreme humility, something that exalted him so highly. He became very well known inside the entire Orthodox world with his statement, Misericordite, or please forgive me. He used to repeat this over and over again, every other sentence. But at the same time, he was a person who lived the resurrection of the Lord. I happened to watch his funeral service on a video, and I felt the presence of the Lord's resurrection. This is a good observation, Mr. Clito. And yes, Elder Iacobus was the one who would say over 50 times during a conversation, forgive me. Forgive me for what I'm about to tell you. And you walked away from him. When you would walk away from him, you were full of the feelings of consolation, joy, feeling that this life is worth living, that it is an important matter to be an Orthodox Christian, to be a human being, to be simply alive. And this was the special taste, the special sense you received from this elder, and not necessarily from the previously discussed teachers of imaginary prophecies and prophetologies. When you were in his presence, he made you feel that life is so beautiful, it's worth living. And especially, of course, if I live this life according to God's law. Christ came to give us life and a life of fullness, abundant life. And this abundancy of God was filling Elder Iacobus, and he was transferring this to his visitors. When you walked away from him, you felt that you were leaving a piece of paradise. However, the rest of the world was not hell, as some make it out to be. In my own world, during my years in Athens as a student, later on in Cyprus, it can be transformed into the paradise lived by Elder Iacobus. You felt this. You did not feel your life to be minimized because you lived something of a great experience in front of him. Your Eminence, Papus Panagis, just came to my mind. He was saying when you would go to see an elder, you don't only feel this joy, peace, inner beauty, all these essential elements. But he used to say to some of the refugee women who were visiting, I hope now that you receive plenty of spiritual supplies and spiritual deposits so you can somehow regulate yourselves in your difficult life of being refugees. Very, very nice. That's very true. Of course, when we visit the elders, we receive these spiritual deposits so we can withdraw when we are out in the world. Mr. Clito, in Elder Iacobus, I personally found a father, someone who knew how to adopt the very people that God entrusted to him. The very thing that St. Paul was saying, if you have 10,000 guardians and teachers in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. This is befitting of Elder Porfirios, Elder Paisios, Elder Evmenios. But for me, the one whom I looked upon as a father was this man of God, Father Iacobus. Glory be to God. He became my spiritual guide, and I used to go there during the holidays, during Christmas, during Pascha, during the Feast of the Forerunner, and I stayed with him through the entire feast period during the beheading of the Baptist, the 29th of August. I used to stay 5-6 days. And since there were only 3 fathers, 3 monks during that time, I was somehow considered to be the fourth. And I needed to be present often to help out in the area of hospitality, to serve sweets to the pilgrims, to chant. And this way, I lived this monastery. I dare to say that this was my first monastery, and this relationship with the monastery of St. David is maintained to this day. It is a continuous and ongoing relationship. Along with the gift of spiritual fatherhood, he also had the gift of healing people bothered and possessed by demons, and the gift of consolation. He had the ability to comfort people to lighten their burdens. Father Porfirius used to say when he was visited by demon-possessed people and their families, he would say, "Listen, I was not given a healing gift of this sort from God to expel demons. You need to go see the most humble man of Greece, Father Iakovos." And he used to send them straight to him, and they would become well. And even now that the elder has fallen asleep in the Lord, he continues to have this gift of healing. He heals many illnesses, and some of my Hagarite friends made the comment that he may be the Saint Nectarius of the 21st century. At some point, Father Porfirius asked me, "How's your elder, Father Iakovos?" I said, "He's doing well, thank God, but he has some health problems, elder. If you would like to know, your elder and I will die together." At that point, I thought inside of me, "Bite your tongue. My elder is much younger. He's going to live much longer." Elder Porfirius said, "Don't tell me to bite my tongue. This is how it shall be. You will see." Years went by, and Elder Iakovos slept first, and a week later, Elder Porfirius followed. What grace were these people given by God to foreknow their time of death, and how much love they had for each other. Great love, such great love. Your Eminence, can we mention now a few things about Elder Evmenios, who's very dear to me, by the way. He has a special place in my heart. Of course, he slept in the Lord in May of 1999, and the feeling I got about this man is that he was between heaven and earth, and the purpose of his presence was simply to remind us about the other world. With this man, I had a parallel spiritual relationship, Mr. Clito, along with Father Iakovos. Father Iakovos was my spiritual guide, the one guiding young Omiros back then, how to enter the church, how to cure the wounds of the soul of his past. This was the task of Father Iakovos. Father Evmenios, with his silence, with his patience, the elder of joy, he was especially the elder of joy and pain at the same time, the leper. He was the priest of the community of lepers of Athens, himself being infected by leprosy from his youth, and now he served the community hospital of lepers. This man was my father confessor because Elder Iakovos was far away, and I wished to confess my thoughts, my sins as a human being. So I found this man, and when I first met him, he was quite young. He was 49 years old. He was born in 1931 in Crete, and he had this great love for his birthplace. He requested to be buried in Crete, even though he spent most of his life in Athens. His character could easily be understood only in the context of the men of Crete. He was a kritikos, a brave soul, a brave man in general, a levendis, as we say in Greek, levendis anthropos. This man received God's light very young. He truly felt the light in his heart. And this happened while he was speaking to his sister Amalia. He told her, "Amalia, the light of Christ just came to my heart. I must now go and become a monk at the monastery of St. Nikitas, a small monastery of the nearby area of Heraklion." And he goes and becomes a monk there, and he accepts the great cross of the disease of leprosy, and his elder had to tell him, "My child, you cannot stay with us here any longer because of your condition." Leprosy was very infectious back then. Shortly after that, his elder took him, supplied him with some money, and put him on a small boat heading towards the isolated colony of lepers on a deserted island of Pinalanga. And later, they transferred them to the community hospital of lepers in Athens. There he met Elder Nikephoros, spiritual child of St. Anthimos of Chios, a man of a great spiritual stature. In the book of St. Anthimos of Chios, there's a special chapter for Elder Nikephoros. Elder Nikephoros had the reputation of the saint among the lepers. This is what they called him. And here in 3 years under his eldership, Evmenios learned the trade or the technique of noetic prayer. Subsequently, Elder Nikephoros dies, and Evmenios is already the elder trained by the great patience needed for the condition of leprosy from the isolation. We must mention that back then, the lepers were quarantined. The grounds were enclosed by tall steel fences, and communication with outsiders was strictly prohibited. Only after 1965, the lepers began to have contact with the rest of the healthy people of Athens. And to our dismay, we discover that those of us on the outside were ill, while most of the people inside this particular leprosy quarters achieved sainthood. Like Evangelio, for example, what a saint. This woman was a saint, a leper, blind, paralyzed. Her hands were totally eaten by leprosy. She had no hands at all. Yet these people were full of grace. They knew how to pray incessantly. So let's look at a recipe from Father Evmenios, since many people today like to have a recipe. Father Evmenios read prayers 5 hours a day. He read from the great Orologion, the Hours, the Psalter, Parakletiki, 5 hours every day, like Papa Nicholas Planas. And many would tell him, "You're the new Nicholas Planas of Athens." And he used to say, "Not at all, he's a saint, and I'm nothing of that sort." He celebrated liturgy almost every day, and towards the end of his life, he used to go to many, many homes of the area of Athens, and even the suburbs, because the residents discovered that his prayers and blessings were very powerful and heard by God. So he ran all over the Athenian valley to read blessings, supplications, and holy unction services. He was a man of great spiritual stature, a precious diamond. Towards the end of his life, he remained in the Athenian hospital Evangelismos, and he heard that the Archbishop of Athens and all Greece, Seraphim, was on his deathbed. He loved the Archbishop, and he generally honored and revered all bishops. He never criticized anyone, and he never passed any judgment on a single human being. Never. So he heard that Seraphim is dying, so he mentions to one of my friends, priest monk, "Please, Father Yanadia, I want you to take me to get the blessing of the Archbishop." And even though the Archbishop Seraphim was in a coma, when the man of God Evmenios kneels next to him, he opens his eyes, he confesses to Elder Evmenios, and the latter leaves full of joy. He goes back to the hospital, and after a few days, the nurses heard him chant the Archbishop's Fimi, "Seraphim, the most blessed Archbishop of all Greece, Seraphim to Makariotatu, Kethoprovlitu, Mitropolitu." "Elder, what's come over you? And you're chanting the Archbishop's Fimi." "Seraphim is leaving. He's leaving. His soul is being carried by angels in heaven." "Elder, the Archbishop did not die yet." "No, he just left. He just left us." Not long after that, the nurses were extremely surprised to see on television a special news report. "The Archbishop of Athens and all Greece has slept in the Lord a few minutes ago." And here the Elder Evmenios had reported this before the television's newscast. He had his own television inside of him, and he was so humble that he hid it. Most of the time, he hid his gifts. Father Porfirios used to tell me that this man is a true saint. He prays to God to keep his gifts hidden and not to be revealed until the very end of his life, and that's how he came to be. And Father Porfirios used to tell me when I was a student, "Please, Vreomire, do me a favor and bring me Father Evmenios so I can confess, so I can see a man, a human being." What do you mean, elder? You have dozens of people around you every day, and you speak to them, you see them all the time, and you want to see a man?
Yes, Omiros, I want someone who speaks my language, so please bring me father of many so I can confess.
Now, if you went to a normal everyday priest like myself and our peers, and you would tell them, Father Porfirios needs confession, we would start the humble talk. Who am I to hear the confession of a saint? I'm unworthy. The humble talk, which usually lacks humility. Now listen to Father Avmenius's simplistic approach. I mentioned to him, Elder, I'm going to find someone with a car to take us to Father Porfirios one of these days because he wants to have the sacrament of confession. Father Avmenius replied very simply and naturally, Go ahead, find a driver, and I will take a Petrahili, and we'll be on our way, very simply, without any further superfluous comments and vain words. No idle talk. So I did find someone to drive us and took Father Avmenius to Father Porfirios, and when he came out of the confessional, we were eyewitnesses of a man who just descended from Mount Sinai. We saw the face of Father Avmenius take the color of a red-hot brick, radiating a glow similar to the face of Moses when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai with a fiery red-hot face. We were shocked at the sight of his face, and then Father Avmenius waved for me to go near him, and he took a few thousand drachmas, and he said, Give this to Father Porfirios to use in his building fund for all these projects that he's undertaking around here. So I took the money, and I went to Elder Porfirios, and I told him, Elder, this is from Elder Avmenius, to use for your building expenses here. He tells me, You have an awesome responsibility. You are around a great man of God, and please, my son, as long as you are around Athens, bring him to me now and then so I can confess. You have no idea how much rest my soul found today and how much it was refreshed from this fountain of Crete. Your Eminence, thank you for sharing this great blessing with us. Great blessing indeed. To close the segment, I asked Elder Avmenius, how did you get to know Father Porfirios? Because they had great love between them. And the truth is that Elder Porfirios was the link that connected all of them, Paisios, Iakovos, Avmenius, and that's why I call him the Dean of Elders. And Father Avmenius answered me, Let me tell you, after St. Nectarius healed me, as we mentioned before, he was a leper, and St. Nectarius appeared to him and healed him so he could become a priest. He healed his hands. So every Saturday, the other lepers used to give me money so I could do their shopping from the public marketplace of Athens in Omonia. And I could not help notice outside of the polyclinic, another Athenian hospital, where Father Porfirios was the chaplain for years. So as I was walking outside of this polyclinic, I was seeing a priest full of light, surrounded by light. And I kept wondering, who is this man? He's a priest in the world. Father Porfirios, by the way, did not dress like a monk. And this is a very fine detail, which says a lot. Father Porfirios, all the years in Athens, never wore anything to show that he was a monk. He wore his kalimafi and the garb of a simple priest. Father Avmenius, likewise, when he would come into Athens, he came with his kalimafi. They avoided displaying their ascetic identity. They felt that the other people should not notice that they were monks. They tried to hide their monastic identity to avoid praise. And I used to watch this light around Father Porfirios. Later on, I went to the chapel of the Polyclinic Hospital because I was passing outside, and I heard the sounds of a divine liturgy, and I was drawn inside to light a candle. And to my great surprise,
I see this light-bearing priest celebrating the divine liturgy with angels hovering around and above his right and left side. I was mesmerized. I sat there dumbfounded, saying to myself, what great grace this man has been granted from God to liturgize with angels. At the end of the divine liturgy, I saw a couple of other priests go inside the altar to receive his blessing. And I thought, why don't I go inside myself to meet this man of grace? And people in the meantime told me that this is Father Porfirius. So I went inside, and I made a prostration in front of him, and he prostrated in front of me as well. And I told him, Father Porfirius, what great grace you have been given by God to liturgize with angels. What did he tell you, elder? I asked. He responded with a smile and said, and what great grace God has also given you, Father Evmenios, to see these angels whom I don't see. This is so beautiful, Your Eminence. Indeed, this is so beautiful. So while Father Porfirius was not seeing the angels, Father Evmenios, the simple one, could see them. When I was ordained, Father Evmenios continued, Father Porfirius sent me a small note with three statements, but I will never reveal these exhortations to anyone, and he never did. Now, it is possible that these elders foresaw that someday I would be serving the Church of Cyprus in this capacity, and they revealed all this wealth to us to be able to share with the Christians of Morphou. They even told me ahead of time, prophetically, Elder Porfirius and Elder Iakovos, they said that there will come a time when you will become a bishop, and they will invite you to say and speak about the things you saw around Dom Iakovos, and you will speak in order to strengthen the faith of God's people. So I feel indebted to bear witness to the holiness of God's saintly elders, and I pray and hope that this information does not simply provide me and the people of God of Cyprus with some spiritual enthusiastic impressions, but to enhance our faith to emulate and follow the example of these people of holiness, especially in these difficult days that lie ahead. And I especially pray, Mr. Clito, for all of us to conceive the spirit of these holy people, a spirit that celebrates life, that life is worth living, that we can rejoice, show patience if this life comes along with some suffering, and to live the life of Christ as much as we can, and to try not to be anxious about the future. People who live the present in Christ Jesus, Christ becomes the future of their entire existence, their entire world. He's the master of the entire universe. Is the master of the past, the present, and the future. Amen. Anesti, oh.
Yeah. Ότι αυτός θεστεί.